Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight. This week's edition, I have with me John Biber and Lori Higgins, again, some of our best and most prolific writers over at the IFI team, talking about everything from what's going on in the culture to what's going on politically here in Illinois. And as we record and as we broadcast this or make it available to you, we're 1 week out from the March 20th primary election. And I hope that if you haven't already voted, you are planning to vote. It is our Christian duty. God gave us this amazing gift of self-government, and to be good stewards of that gift that he has given us, we need to be active members in the political process, which means the minimum, the very minimum, is voting in the election. And of course, we want you to be an informed voter. And so head over to illinoisfamily.org and check out our voter guide before you vote. And just listen to the rest of this podcast because we have some recommendations. Illinois Family Action, by the way, also makes endorsements of certain candidates if they align with our positions. Right at the very top of the ballot this year, we have a very hot contested race for governor. Well, actually, it's actually the GOP nomination for governor here in Illinois. We have incumbent Bruce Runner and three-time state representative Jeannie Ives. And Jeannie Ives is from the Wheaton area. She is a West Point graduate, an Army veteran, a mother of five, and a former city council member who is willing to step up to multimillionaire Bruce Runner and take him on with five smooth stones, you might say.
Ouch.
Ouch is right. So we have actually endorsed Jeannie because during the 5 years she has served in Springfield, she's serving her sixth year right now in 2018, she has an outstanding record of not only just standing up for life and marriage and family, but she has been a watchdog down there sounding the alarm on the out-of-control spending in the pensions and the budget, or the lack of a budget, down in Springfield, which many establishment politicians just want to keep kicking the can down the road. The first thing I really want to talk to Lori and John about here is the fact that Runner has been filling the airwaves and filling mailboxes with all kinds of negative ads, doing his best to tie Jeannie Ives to Michael Madigan, which is laughable. To anybody who's been paying attention in Illinois, we know that he wouldn't align himself, probably wouldn't be caught dead in the same room with her because their politics are so different. It is just laughable. And I know, because my wife is getting the mailer, that Bruce Runner is targeting Republican women, trying to woo them over to his side. And I talked to Jeannie Ives actually just the other day, and she's estimating, their campaign is estimating, that he has spent about $4 million on these mailings, which are ridiculous, absolutely insane. But thankfully, we have people like Lori Higgins and John Bivers doing their best to expose what's going on. And Lori, you wrote an article called Runner's Deceitful Campaign Ads, in which you itemize each one of his, well, many of his lies and take them apart. And the first one that's listed here in your article that's on the Illinois Family Action website is Runner lie number one, that Ives is a career politician. Is that true, Lori?
No, it's so absurd. I have so many things to say. First of all, I want to say, add something to her resume. Her major at West Point was economics, which is really needed here in Illinois. And she's also a former ROTC instructor. And when she was the ROTC instructor at Wheaton College, it was one of the top rated country programs in the country. So I wanted to add that.
Good.
Browner's campaign ads are so deceitful that they alone should disqualify him from office. And I took all five of his campaign lies and exposed them, researched them and exposed them. And there only are five. And he goes and he just hammers those five again and again and again. I don't know how the guy sleeps at night. So the one that she's a career politician, as you said, she is now in the middle of her sixth year. So sorry to Jeannie Ives, but I'm going to reveal her age. She's 53. It's not a secret. It's on her bio. So she is now in her sixth year. So she served 5 years. And I was talking about this to someone who had read the Madigan's ads. The Rauner campaign ads, the lying Rauner campaign ads, and said, oh, but she was in politics before that. And I said, yes. 18 months she served on the Wheaton City Council. So now we have, she's completed 5 years in Springfield and another 18 months. Rauner has completed 3 years in Springfield. If we give him another term, he will have served 8 years as the governor of Illinois. So do we really want that career politician to be in office?
Right.
I mean, if her 5.5 years or 6.5 counting the Wheaton City Council constitute a career, then he will have served longer than a career when he's finished 8 years.
Well, okay, so runner line number two is Jeannie Ives supports Michael Madigan's 32% tax increase. Now, Lori, before I get to you, I want to ask John. We all know, because we've been doing this long enough, that yes, Michael Madigan is the face of the problem down in Springfield. But it seems to me that Bruce Rauner keeps using him as the scapegoat. It gets a little tiring after a while, doesn't it?
It does. Rauner has never introduced a balanced budget. And that's
his duty.
His constitutional required duty to do that. And when the tax increase was going through the override of his veto, he did nothing to sway members. And with his wallet, you would think he could have some influence over Republican votes and encourage them not to join the override.
So if he was really against this, the $4 million that he's filling our mailboxes with right now could have been used to stop the tax increase, right?
Jeannie Ives, if she had his wallet and if she was in his chair at the time, that wouldn't have passed.
No. No, she would have fought it and made a big deal about it. So what about it, Lori? Does she support the 32% tax increase?
No, she opposed it. And what she said, so on the campaign mailers that he sent out, there were teeny tiny footnotes. So I followed up on all the teeny tiny footnotes. And this is where he got his claim about her support of that. From Crain's Chicago Business Magazine. And this is what it actually said. This is a quote from Crain's. Ives said she'd start by working to repeal the income tax hike that was approved over Rauner's veto, but she said she wouldn't do it immediately for one reason, because we have now the short-term state IOUs have ballooned to more than $12 billion while the budget stalemate raged. She said she suspects that within 2 years, she could set that as a goal to repeal the income tax hike.
Well, we need to also send more, you know, fiscally minded conservatives down to Springfield to help with that process.
And that's the other part of what she had said in the interview with Crain's. She said, realistically, it will take that long to get something through a general assembly that unless something changes in November will be dominated by Democrats. She has always opposed these tax hikes. I mean, it was so deceiving. I'm continually enraged about his campaign ads.
He's earned his nickname, right? Pinocchio Rauner.
Right.
Hasn't he?
Right, he has.
All right, so runner line number three, Ives opposed freezing property tax. Now, again, before I go to you, Lori, John, we all know that property tax problems in this state are out of control. We all are paying too much to own our own home. Some people are even paying like a second mortgage to be able to live in their home. One of the main reasons people are exiting the state of Illinois.
Yeah, and if anybody thinks Bruce Rauner in a second term would be able to do anything about that problem, I don't even know what to say to them. We've got a long way to go to reform the Illinois tax system. Property taxes are driving people out of the state as much as the income tax, if not more.
That's right. That's right. So what about it, Lori? Is Ives opposed to freezing property taxes?
No, she was opposed to a particular bad bill. And by the way, she was joined by 34 other Republicans in opposing this bad bill. And so this is what NPR said about the bill. They were saying that the freeze legislation introduced over the last couple of years would guarantee that taxes never increased on a particular piece of property. But it would allow the government to shift the burden. They could only, the local governments could only freeze the total amount of money that was being, they would get from taxes, but that would allow them to shift it from one property to another. So the example they gave is individual tax bills might increase, for example, if the value of homes in a particular neighborhood increased at a greater rate than homes in some less trendy part of town. So, and then another website called Prairie State Wire explained the legislation would have frozen taxes for only 2 years and only for Cook County and the collar counties. Residents in downstate counties would have had to vote for a freeze in a referendum. Moreover, it included plenty of ways that local governments could wiggle out of a freeze. And so Jeannie wants a hard cap as a percentage of home value.
Boring, she wants 1%, right? 1% of the value. That's the cap.
Right. So
that
this
sounds
is how
more than reasonable to me.
Right.
Good. All right. So next, we got to keep moving here because we're going to run out of time. Runner line number four is that Ives was the only House member to vote against increasing the property tax exemption. What do you say about that, Lori?
Well, even the Republicans... Everyone knew Illinois policy said a no vote was the absolutely right decision on this bill, but it was a campaign gimmick to make Republicans look bad. And so all Republican, Jeannie Ives was the only one to have the courage of all the Republicans to come forward and say, vote no on it on principle, because they wouldn't, she was okay with letting that, risking that this would make her look bad by devious people like Rauner.
And Madigan set this up, and Rauner is now using it as a campaign tactic against her, which is just highly ironic. Who's using who, right? All right. Rauner line number five, before we go to break. Ives has received thousands of dollars in contributions from same union bosses who back Michael Madigan. First of all, hold on. Before I go to you, Lori, I want to talk to John about this for a minute, because there are a lot of blue-collar conservatives around the state of Illinois who are sick of seeing jobs leave the state of Illinois, and they desperately want to see a conservative governor who will help the state get back on its feet and bring jobs back. Is that so crazy?
Not all labor union contributions are evil. There are plenty of centrist labor unions who understand the economic problem in this state. They want increased membership. And if it takes supporting some Republicans to get there, they'll do it, which means the economy would increase, their membership would increase.
That's right. They're sick of seeing their members leave the state and their jobs leave the state. So, Lori, is this lie true or false?
No, it's completely false. This was probably the most enraging of the five lies that I covered in here. And, you know, John, what John just explained is the most important reason why unions would support conservative candidates, because of jobs. And but there's another reason, because I was reading on some leftist sites this asking this question, why would unions do that? Sometimes they make token donations to conservatives to pacify their more conservative union members, who get really angry that all the donations are going to leftist organizations and leftist candidates and leftist policies. So that's another reason. in addition, so it took me, this one took me a long time to figure out what that, where the heck did they get that? And finally, so I went through all of these. I went to Illinois Sunshine, to all these websites to find out about donations, and discovered that Jeannie Ives has received from between 2012 and 2017, $6,900 from who I guess he's calling a union boss, which is the Chicagoland Operators Joint Labor Management PAC. Well, this PAC has also donated to complete conservative candidates, Peter Breen and Darren LaHood. Breen has gotten $8,000 and Darren LaHood has gotten $15,000. And then, even better, some of the less consistent conservatives who are good buddies with Rauner, Chris Nybo, received $13,500, twice as much as Jeannie has. And Jim Durkin has received almost the same amount, $6,600.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Oh, and I should say, oh, yes. And the House Republican Leadership Committee received $205,000. And the House Republican Organization has received $76,000. And these, this bit of information, Rauner hasn't chosen to share with the public.
Of course not. He, you know, it seems to me, John, that he's running scared. We both know that negative campaign ads work, right?
Yeah, and this campaign is going to come down to how many people get this information. And your word of mouth, anybody listening to this, you need to help spread the word on these facts, because more people are hearing these stupid ads than are hearing the truth.
We have a great comparison piece up on our website, ifiaction.org. Print it out, cut it in half, and spread the word. It's a two-up, so there's two to one page. You can easily get this into the mailboxes, into the hands of your friends before they vote, and we've got to vote on March 20th. So with that said, we're going to take a break, and we'll come right back and talk a little bit more about the down-ballot races. Stay tuned.
People are talking a lot about healthcare these days. There are so many changes, so many questions. As Christians, where can we turn for answers? Well, at Samaritan Ministries, we believe the answer is in Jesus Christ, working in the lives of his people, demonstrating Christian community by sharing each other's medical needs, scripturally, faithfully. Here's just part of Lana's story in her own words.
I love getting the monthly share that I give to each month that has a name of a real person and their real medical concerns and a prayer request, you know, for them. That I get to interact with people from all over the country, just like me, and get to pray for them and know that they're praying for me when I have a need. It's great. I love it.
Lana is just one of over 200,000 members who are sharing over $23 million in medical needs each month. If you'd like to experience what it's like to partner with other Christians for your healthcare needs, and you'd like to see what other members are saying, visit MySamaritanStory.org.
Okay, welcome back to Illinois Family Spotlight. I am Dave Smith, and I am joined by John Biver and Lori Higgins. And today we are talking about the upcoming election on March 20th. And our endorsement, once again, for governor is Jeannie Ives. She's a rock star, and she is an across-the-board conservative. We highly recommend that you cast your ballot for her. But that's not the only race on the ballot. We've got some other races down the ballot. And right under the gubernatorial race, we have the race for Illinois Attorney General. And on the Republican ticket, we have two candidates. We have Erica Harold and a guy named Gary Grasso. Did I say that name right?
I don't know.
Grasso.
Right.
Not positive, but John, you wrote a bit of an article on this. So tell us a little bit about those two candidates.
Many people may remember Erica. She was Miss America and had made a lot of national headlines. A smart, talented young attorney, Harvard law grad, had ran for Congress downstate, lost. Now she's in this race. She's been in practice of law for about a decade. Gary Grasso has been practicing law since the 1980s. And this is the first time I've come across his name, but he's got he's a Georgetown graduate, Fordham University School of Law. He's a former DuPage County board member, former mayor of Burr Ridge. So he's had experience in the public square, chairman of the DuPage 911 board. the key thing in this race, it seems to me, Dave, and when we wrote this article together, it was trying to make a judgment on how these two are campaigning. They both are taking similar views on all the big issues, whether it's corruption or marijuana or whatever. But Grasso seems a little more solid in his answers. And Erica Herold, surprising to some of us who have known her for a long time, is acting a little squishy. Her campaign is being supported, as the other statewide candidates are, unopposed candidates, by Rauner's money. And I think that is impacting how she is approaching the campaign. She doesn't want to come across too much as a conservative stalwart.
Right. You know, every election cycle, Illinois Family Institute puts out a voter guide. And we come across this problem frequently, where establishment Republicans and their campaign apparatus tells the candidates, don't fill out the forms. Don't do it. And it's a problem, because when they listen to this advice, and I think it's bad advice, especially in the primary, you're not getting your positions and your platform before conservative voters. Our voter guides go to churches and civic groups and tea parties across the state of Illinois. It goes to Republican precinct committeemen who deliver them door to door. Why wouldn't you want the voters to know where you stand on these very important issues? And it's not just us, though. While Mr. Grasso did fill out our survey, and it's pretty good, he didn't line up with us enough to get an endorsement from Illinois Family Action. Erica totally blew us off. She did not fill out our survey. She did not fill out the questionnaire for Illinois Right to Life Action and other pro-life groups. For example, Lake County Right to Life. And so it really is kind of disturbing to see her avoid those questions. Now, in the article, I relate this story quickly. I asked both of these attorneys, great people, good people, a very important question in my book. All right. I asked them regarding Senate Bill 1564, which forces pro-life doctors and medical workers to give abortion referrals, and House Bill 217, which bans professional therapists from helping minor children with unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion. If they thought those laws were constitutional, how can you defend those laws as the Attorney General? Erica Herold told me she would defend the laws of the state of Illinois, point blank. Gary Grasso indicated to me he thought he couldn't do it because they were unconstitutional. And that makes a huge difference to me. Number one, he's not running away from the pro-life, pro-family community. He's answering our questions, whereas Erica is willing to answer the questions from the Chicago Sun-Times and the NPR stations throughout the state, but not for the pro-life, pro-family groups. It indicates to me who's going to be more friendly to us in governing. Right? Right. And so that's why I would recommend personally, not Illinois Family Action, but I would personally recommend voting for Gary Grasso.
Oh, the Attorney General does have discretion in which cases they're going to pursue. So while it is their statutory duty to defend the state and statutes, the Attorney General's office cannot do everything. So right. There are ways for an Attorney General to say, I am not doing that because of
right. Didn't Lisa Madigan do that quite a bit? I think she set precedence.
She did it a lot. Yes.
And then there's the other thing is, too, being a lobbyist in Springfield, I've seen the Attorney General's office slip, and that is put in paperwork for legislation saying we support or oppose. I've seen their attorneys come and testify before committees. So they're very involved in the legislative process. So to say that you can't answer these questions because, well, they're beyond you is ridiculous. So
I just want to bring up that, you know, one of the rising stars in the Democratic Party, Kamala Harris from California, when she was the Attorney General out there, she announced she would not defend Prop 8. So
exactly. So All right, good. Well, I want to get to now some races even further down the ballot. Now, this is going to, you know, depend on where you live, if it's germane to you. But before we even talk about this, some of these candidates are running against incumbents who are really good people and who really line up with us on the issues all the time. What the deciding vote was, or the deciding issue was whether or not they were willing to stick their neck out and endorse publicly Jeannie Ives for governor. And if you're not willing to do that, then what kind of a political leader are you? And I want to just talk about that for a second with Lori, because you wrote an article, and it's on ifiaction.org, saying, hey, what's the deal, GOP? Why aren't you endorsing this phenomenal across-the-board conservative against this incumbent governor who has betrayed us repeatedly?
No, it's so outrageous. I mean, this is why that part, the GOP, is being corrupted from within, because we don't have the courage. We couldn't create a more ideal conservative candidate than Jeannie Ives. She is on all the issues. She's especially strong on the economic issues. That's her background. She's deeply invested in that in Illinois. She's the most courageous lawmaker in Springfield on those issues. And so, but she's also a social conservative. And by the way, people should read her article, her commentary that was in the Tribune a couple of years ago about the very difficult pregnancy she had, and found out midway through the pregnancy that the baby would not survive. And she chose to give birth to that baby, who only survived 45 minutes. It's a very powerful essay.
She just recently gave that same testimony in front of the Planned Parenthood in Flossmoor, and it's on YouTube. And it's really kind of telling the stark difference between the two. Here's Jeannie Ives standing in front of the new Planned Parenthood in Flossmoor, Illinois, protesting its opening and its practice of murdering babies. And yet, on the other hand, Bruce and his wife, Diana, wrote a $50,000 check to support Planned Parenthood last year.
And by the way, we mentioned in an earlier podcast that about, it was 3-4 weeks ago now, he attended this posh soiree hosted by the Equality Illinois, donated $15,000. That night, they were honoring Planned Parenthood. So yeah. That's our candidate.
If a legislative candidate can't endorse Ives and wants to stay neutral after watching Rauner for 3 years, then you really have to question their judgment on almost everything.
Well, that's the point. We're looking for leaders, someone who's willing to stick their neck out and not be worried about, I don't want this to come back on me. No, you're not being sent down there to worry about yourself. This is so much bigger than you. Right. This is about the state of Illinois, for goodness sakes. And so that was why we chose to endorse some of these candidates.
And I just want to add something about the cowardice of, it's either the cowardice or the foolishness, because, you know, if for those Republicans who don't understand the critical importance of what are reductively called the social issues, if they don't understand that, they're foolish. If they understand it and don't care, then they have no integrity and no spine. And Jeannie Ives gets it. And that's one of the things that Mark Stein was saying.
You say it so good, Lori.
I mentioned in our last podcast, and everyone should go find this. I'm actually going to write about it, and the video will be in there. But he was on with Tucker Carlson, and they were talking about the whole trans cult ideology. That's what I call it. And he was saying that this is profoundly important. He said, I forget what it was. I think it was the budget. He said, this issue of the eradication of public recognition of sex differences is more important than the budget. Conservatives need to get that. If we abandon support for marriage, its actual nature, and the rights and needs of children, and privacy rights, and all the things that go together, go with the whole trans ideology, then this country can't survive, even if we have like a booming economy. It will not survive.
Yep.
Laura, you recently made some comments in an article also about the Chicago Tribune, or you made them to me, but you also wrote about the topic. The Chicago Tribune, who's supposed to be all about the state's economy, endorsing Rauner over Ives because of the social issues.
Yeah, right.
So while conservatives are not supposed to talk about the social issues, the people running the Chicago Tribune editorial board who think like leftists everywhere see those as more important than the economy.
Well, it was so ironic because there was a debate that the Chicago Tribune sponsored between Rauner and Ives, and Ives wiped the floor with Rauner, and the Tribune acknowledged it.
Yes, she did.
And she had, and they said her grasp, her policy grasp was so deep and so, profound on economic issues and all the things that plague the state. But because of her one campaign ad that took on Rauner's policy about, you know, the...
Pointing out the absurdity of the transgender birth certificates. Right. Come on, that's what it was about.
Right, exactly. And they, there's lots of interesting about that. She had one campaign ad and it took on taxpayer funding of abortion and it took on Rauner's policy to turn Illinois into a sanctuary state, and it took on the birth certificate issue, and the Tribune said, oh, that was dishonest. It was dishonest that she suggested that the birth certificate issue had anything to do with bathrooms, which is so absurd, and you can read it in my article, the actual connection between birth certificates and co-ed restrooms. And so while even within our own party, we have people say the social issues are trivial, they're unimportant, the left understands how critically important they are. So we silence ourselves, that's right, and they march forward making social issues critical to everything they do.
That's right. Exactly. Well said, Lori. All right. Well, listen, we're going to say goodbye to you now and say, and then I'm going to turn to John here, and we're going to talk about some Illinois General Assembly races. So I know this podcast is going a little long, but that's okay. We've got an election coming up, and I hope you stay tuned for it. So thanks, Lori. All right. So, John, real quick, I want to run down a list of just a couple races here with you and highlighting. We've been talking a lot about Jeannie Ives. So she's not running for that seat anymore. And we have two Republicans, Burt Miner and Amy Grant, running for that seat. Illinois Family Action has given our endorsement to Amy Grant. And no, she is not the Christian artist and the singer. This is a woman who has served on the DuPage County Board for years. She's a good Catholic and a across-the-board conservative who is running for this seat. And she's the best fit for us. What do you know about the race there?
Like we were saying a few minutes ago, watching who they endorse for governor is key, and Amy Grant had no trouble endorsing Jeannie Ives. Of course, Jeannie holds that seat now. Burt Miner equivocates, and he's getting some money from some very liberal Republicans.
That's right.
And he's in trouble right now for saying some foolish things a few months ago in a meeting with Erica Harrell, the attorney general candidate. So
asking about her sexual orientation because she's a single woman.
I mean, he's 60-something years old. He should know better than to be stepping into this kind of a mess.
Well, my problem with Burt Miner is a few years ago, he was on the Republican Platform Committee down in Peoria, and he voted the wrong way on the marriage plank. He voted to weaken the marriage plank, and he was one of the key votes. So I've kind of got it in my craw that he's not going to be good on some of our issues. He may be pro-life, but I'm not so sure if he's good on the pro-family and the LGBT issues. So, by the way, Jeannie Ives has also endorsed Amy Grant for her seat. Moving on to Mickey Straub versus Jim Durkin. And you know a lot about Jim Durkin. He's been in the General Assembly for 20 years. He's one of the longest-serving Republicans in the House, and he is now the minority spokesperson. How do I say this nicely? He voted for transgender birth certificates, along with Bruce Rauner, really disappointing us. Mickey Straub, I've known for a long time. He is the mayor of Burr Ridge. He's been a pro-life, pro-family activist for a long time, and he has earned the endorsement for Illinois Family Action. What do you know about Jim Durkin?
Jim Durkin has been the House Minority Leader for a few years now. And when he was chosen for that role, Dave, you and I actually co-authored an op-ed asking the State House Caucus to not make him the leader. Leadership in a state like this is key. And I think just as Rauner's leadership has been demonstrated, we've seen Jim Durkin's leadership. It's not only his bad judgment on policy, but he just doesn't know how to lead that caucus to make it get its message out and make Illinois voters aware of what we need to do instead.
That's right. And so this is the Burr Ridge countryside LaGrange area of the state of Illinois. Downstate, I'm going to jump way downstairs state to Effingham on the area of the state of Illinois. We've got Darren Bailey, who is challenging the incumbent, David Rice. David has been a great vote for us down in Springfield. He's been a spokesman for us. But this is one of those races that come down. The two are, you know, virtually exactly the same when it comes to policy, right? They both support pro-life, pro-family, and good conservative principles. David Rice did vote initially for the tax increase, which was disappointing, but he did vote to uphold the veto, which is a good thing. But when it came down to asking both of these candidates if they would endorse Jeannie Ives, David was reluctant to do so. Darren didn't bat an eye. He came out and said, absolutely, she's my candidate. So that makes all the difference in the world to us. Down in the Charleston area of Illinois, Charleston, Robinson, we have a guy named Chris Miller who we've endorsed. He is running for an open seat. Reggie Phillips is stepping down after he voted for the tax increase. Instead of facing a challenger, he's decided to retire. And Chris Miller is a great Christian leader who is very outspoken and will do a great job. And then on the other side of the state, downstate, by the Metro East St. Louis area, we have Dwight Kay, who was a state representative a couple years ago, got defeated by a Democrat, and now is trying to run and win that seat again. And he has earned our endorsement as well. So all those people, we'd love you to see you. Make sure you get out, work for them, put up their yard signs, put on a bumper sticker, send them a small check. So all those things. And remember, above all things, please vote and keep this election in your prayers. With that said, I'm just going to wrap it up here and say thank you for listening to this extended version of the Illinois Family Spotlight podcast. I'm Dave Smith, along with John Biver, on behalf of Lori Higgins. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.